The Old Testament reading is from Hosea chapters 5 and 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 4. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. And he guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God has fearfully and wonderfully made each one of us. Our bodies are truly amazing creations. They are able to tell us when we are sick and hurting. Sometimes we heed the signs and seek medical attention, while other times we just hope what ails us will go away. We also know that the body has an amazing power to be able to heal itself. The conscience, though, which is God's law written on our hearts, is also very powerful. It enables us to distinguish right from wrong. It accuses us when we have sinned. But there is a significant difference between the body and the conscience. Our conscience can never heal itself. If left to our own vices in spiritual matters, we would all suffer eternally in hell. As we look at the gospel lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 9, we ask the question, how is your health? Which is our theme this morning. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us begin by stating, by nature, we are spiritually sick and dead, which is our first point. None of us likes to hear or admit to that fact. But our sins make us spiritually sick and dead. Sin, as we know, destroys and kills. How often does sin get in the way of healthy and forgiving relationships between people? Our text begins in part with the calling of Matthew. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. That seems quite straightforward. Jesus beginning to call his original group of 12. How often does the voice of our Lord Jesus call out to us through his word and tell us to do something, only to have that message fall on deaf ears? Instead of doing what God tells us to do, we walk our own way or think that, well, someone else can do that. When God is really tugging at your heart or mine to do that. God, as we know, is constantly calling each one of us to repentance. The text continues, and it happened that as he, Jesus, was reclining at table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. Now, tax gatherers, as you know, were not a highly respected group of people, because they were notorious in their dealings with people. Some would call them down and out cheats. But entering the scenario now are the Pharisees. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax gatherers and sinners?" In essence, the Pharisees, who were very self-righteous, thought that they were the only ones who kept the law perfectly. Why would Jesus dirty himself by eating with these sorts of people? That was offensive and unthinkable to the Pharisees. So where do we enter in? Well, how often might you and I look down upon people that we perceive to be different from us? Are our church doors always open to all people, not just those that fit our mold? Do people need to get cleaned up before they enter? Or are we welcoming filthy, dirty sinners like you and me? We all struggle by nature with that attitude of the Pharisees. And guess what? God calls you and me to repentance. The Lord put it this way through the prophet Isaiah, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near to me, for I am holier than you." Sometimes we sin when we see the church as kind of being a round hole into which the square peg of people must be rounded off just to fit in. Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. God has an open door policy, and so must we. We meet people where they are at spiritually, not where we think they should be. Jesus said, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Compassion flows from a changed heart. Jesus is therefore calling the Pharisees and you and me to repentance. And remember, by virtue of our baptism, we are called to daily repentance. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the end of repentance is God's absolution. Be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. I ask again, how is your health? My final point is that Christ Jesus gives us spiritual health. Isn't it great to go in for your annual physical and find out that you are in tip-top shape? To be spiritually healthy is the most important treasure that any one of us can possess. Because we have been declared forgiven and freed in Christ Jesus, we are ready and prepared to depart this life. The spiritual rebirth and health we have received comes from Christ Jesus himself by the working of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. Jesus said in the text, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are ill. Think about it for a moment. When do you and I go to the doctor? When we're feeling well, or we're feeling so miserable that we can't take it any longer? Both men and women should have regular checkups as a good course of preventive medicine. In the spiritual realm of life, all people need the great physician, Jesus Christ. For to die without the Savior is a disaster. Jesus came to provide what all people need, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. St. Paul put it this way, he said, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Christ Jesus went to the cross, bearing all sin, suffering there upon the cross, bleeding and dying, to earn forgiveness of sins for all people, you and I included. In taking our sins upon himself, Jesus, the sinless one, becomes the ultimate of sinners. Paul said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In his death and resurrection, Christ Jesus has done what only he could do, redeem all people. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. The freeing and healing balm of the gospel is applied in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And then Oswald Allen wrote in a hymn, today, your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. We rejoice that we have been washed and that God continues to forgive us in the holy absolution and in the holy supper when it is offered. Paul says, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We have our spiritual health by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus adds, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. When we are spiritually healthy, we are also at peace with God. His word says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. How is your health? Is answered for us through the redeeming work of Christ Jesus. Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen.